Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Swami. Happy birthday to you.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to today's special segment of Afternoon Satsang. There is a feeling of joy, exuberance, contentment, peace, what not, because today is the most special birthday, the birthday of the universe, the birthday of the cosmos. Well, at least it is definitely the birthday of our universe and our cosmos, because blessed are we that our world, our life, our Swami chose this particular day to make his advent on this earth to spend time with all of us. And I don't know what else to say. There are explosions of joy in our heart, and that is how it has been in the morning over here. I am sure in your respective places in the world, that is how it would have been, the atmosphere in your heart. It's a wonderful, wonderful day. And as both Prem and me, we had promised, we are out with a very special segment today, and we have some interesting things lined up which we shall reveal as we go along the way. But before we start today's segment, as always, we offer our most humble salutations at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan, with hearts oozing with gratitude for this wonderful opportunity to be here in the center of our universe at his headquarters at Prashanthi Nilayam, to be able to share his love, his joy. And let me welcome, as always, Prem. And along with Prem, we also have a few guests. We shall name them along the way. Right now, we have Brother D.V. Hemant, an alumnus of the Sri Satsai Institute of Higher Learning. Well, in fact, an alumnus of the Sri Satsai Primary School, Sri Satsai Higher Secondary School, Sri Satsai Institute of Higher Learning. Whatever educational institutions Bhagwan began, he was part of them. And so, I'm sure it will be an interesting session going ahead. Sairam Hemant, Sairam Prem.
Sairam Hemant, and Sairam to all our listeners. What a real beautiful day it is. You know, every time you talk of birthday, we always say happy birthday, but you know, we've really seen what that happiness is in Swami during his birthday. I can't forget those images of, you know, just a couple of days before the birthday or even a week before that, Swami's birthday distribution will start. And one of the sweetest and cutest thing we used to see is Swami would come with one bag in his, you know, hand. He would carry safari clothes in his hand, and it would be in a cover, plastic white cover, very neatly wrapped. And he would hold it behind his back even as he would walk, and nobody will know who it is for. You know, that Swami would pick out somebody and, you know, come and drop it. And that used to be such a beautiful sight of, you know, Swami walking around. I recall one very beautiful incident of the person who used to play the flute. You remember that elderly
yes,
man?
Yes, that elderly man, huh?
Yeah, I think he was a little mentally unstable too. And one day Swami had come and given him the pair of safari clothes or something. And he literally took it from Swami, turned 180 degrees and walked away. And Swami was so surprised. And Swami looked at all of us and said, what is he walking up like this? He's not even saying thanks or anything.
Uh-huh.
And Swami was standing there and seeing what this person was doing. And he walked right across the old student's block and went near the gate. And there his elderly father, I think about 90 years old, he was sitting and he went and gave it to him.
Wow.
And Swami was so very moved by that. And Swami looked at all of us and said, you should be like that. See? And Swami got another pair of, whites and gave it to that man again. I mean, of course, this is just the few years we've spent. I'm sure Hemant will have plentiful of such incidents to recollect.
Salam to all the listeners. The birthday is so special, you know. Swami himself is so effulgent all the time, but the birthday time he acquires a very divine glow. You know, you can see that glow as Swami walks around.
And so, birthday time is a very special time, and you can see the glow on Swami's face, and as Prem was narrating, Swami is ever giving always, but the birthday time he is the mother. You know, you can see the mother and Swami come out, and all of the devotees who come are his children, and they come visiting. So when we visit our parents, we take gifts, and we also expect gifts in return, and birthday time is coming home time for all of us, and Swami is our divine mother and is waiting to shower his love and gifts on us. And today's birthday was also, the birthday celebration in the mandir was so special, and we could see that radiant Swami. It took us back in time to those wonderful days as Prem was narrating. I'm so blessed to be able to think about Swami, to be able to talk about Swami. That itself is the greatest gift. And Swami is the one showering gifts on us on this wonderful birthday.
that is a funny thing, you know. On birthday, the birthday boy is supposed to get the gifts. But when it is our birthday, Swami showers us with gifts. When it is his birthday, Swami showers us with gifts. It makes us, you know, we definitely enjoy receiving the gifts always, but it definitely brings in us that feeling that we want to gift something to Swami on his birthday. And this is not a feeling that is new. This is a feeling that has been there since times immemorial. This is what we have heard from our elders, from our seniors in college. And we have wanted to gift Swami something or the other. We have had experience of trying to gift Swami something or the other. It is definitely a universal feeling. We want to gift Swami something. And when that feeling comes, the question that comes foremost is, what is the best gift we can give Swami? Of course, today's discourse, when we heard Bhagwan's benedictory message on his birthday, Swami made it very, very clear. Swami wanted us to be happy as a birthday gift to him. He said that when I was coming out, everybody is wishing me happy birthday. I am wondering why, and why only today? Swami said, I am always happy. Please wish those who are not happy with happiness, and be happy. And Swami did not stop at that. He went on to say, what does he mean by saying that we should gift him happiness? Swami said, Sukha dukke samay kritva labha labhav jaya jayo. In times of sorrow and in times of happiness, both these times you must be happy. I mean, that is the kind of happiness that I am seeking as a gift. Not when things go right your way, you are happy, and other times you are not. I don't want seasonal happiness. I want complete permanent happiness. And possibly today we can spend some time in discussing how we can give this gift that Swami himself has sought. You know, the gift of being happy always, this attitude of happiness.
Absolutely. You know, when you talk about giving gifts to Swami, yes, the gift that Swami expects is absolutely not material. You know, what can you give material to Swami? And so many times Swami would give that analogy or the imagery of Goddess Lakshmi sitting at his feet. You know, that is really the context in which wealth can be placed when you're talking about the Lord. So what can you really give material? And of course, it goes without saying that it has to be a spiritual gift. It has to be a more subtle gift. But having said that, the opportunity that presents itself in front of us when an avatar comes in a human form is the ability to give him some gift. You know, is the ability to do something physical and offer it to him. As students, we would make these cards for Swami's birthday on any other occasion, you know, cards. I recalled an incident from Vrindavan where, you know, we used to have that small kitchen for boys who fall sick. Mm-hmm. And when Swami is in Vrindavan, boys used to cook for Swami also. One of the boxes which used to go to Swami's dining hall was the box from the hostel. And one of the teachers, Inchad, I think he was telling us once, Sundresan sir, we all know that Swami is very fond of ragi sankati, you know, that preparation which is made of ragi. So some of the boys had learned how to make that, and they sent it to Swami, right? And Swami had it, and he was very surprised that, you know, boys had made this, and Swami sent word saying that it was very nice, tell boys it was nice. And that was probably the wrong thing to do, because for the next few occasions...
It was only ragi sankati all the way.
And finally, Swami said, why are they sending me only this? You know, that is the opportunity. I think probably there's a clue in there. But, you know, the opportunity to offer something physical to Swami, just like how I can offer to you or to somebody else in our family, that is an opportunity which presents itself when Swami is in a human form.
And there's also a selfish reason. When you give Swami, it comes back manifold, you know. There is no telling how much you return. And you're talking about the food that we used to send to Swami's residence. And we would so eagerly await that food. And that food would be distributed every day. It would be one room's turn to get the prasadam and enjoy that prasadam. And Sundareshan sir would give the opportunity to every room. And it was such an eager event to receive the food that Swami has accepted. I think that was just a physical interpretation of that situation. But I think when you offer anything in life and God has touched it and it comes back to you, there is no saying how your life will be improved by that offering.
Right? So you're speaking of those situations where you send food to Swami and Swami partakes a little of it and the remaining comes back to us and we are thrilled. You know, it reminded me of an episode where nothing came back, but it's so sweet and so wonderful. It was narrated to us by one of those brothers who got the opportunity to stay with Bhagwan at his residence and serve Swami. So he was narrating how one day after darshan, Swami came with one kind of a old ragged kind of bag. You know, a bag, and he brought it and he gave it to him and he said, you know, this is something precious. And he peeped in and he saw there were groundnuts, peanuts. You know, they were, for Swami, you know, who owns an empire in every sense, these are literally peanuts, okay? So they are peanuts, and what is it that Swami is treasuring so much about it? Then he said, it didn't stop at that. At one particular time in the day, Swami came, he called not only this boy, the other boys and a few senior members from Swami's administration also, told them to sit around, and he said it was such a unbelievable experience. We were five or six sitting in a circle, and Bhagwan brought that bag of groundnuts, kept it in front, then opened the bag, began to take out those groundnuts one by one. He peeled them and took the groundnuts and handed it to us and said, eat. And they ate it, and Swami opened some more, gave it to others. And slowly they saw that Swami has to distribute to five people. So in order to help, some people dipped their hand in, they opened and they began. Very soon, he said, what happened was, there were five of us sitting and peeling peanuts for each other and giving each other, and we were sitting and chatting and, you know, eating like...
Peanut party, yeah.
Yes, friends at a picnic, you know, like a... Mm-hmm. He said it was so beautiful. After that whole bag was finished, Swami revealed that there is this certain old lady, naming the village from which she came. And Swami said, ever since I have been young, whenever she harvests her groundnuts, she always gets one back to me. From the old mandir days, she has been doing that. She continues to do it now. And now, she had again brought it. Therefore, I brought this and I have been enjoying her groundnuts ever since those days. I continue to do so now. And Swami said, I called you all to finish it now because, you know, she'll be waiting. I have to return back her bag. That was a sweet thing. And that darshan, Swami went and he actually returned that bag back to that lady. And that is how it happened. So, that lady definitely did not get even one peanut back. But I feel the speciality about gifting Swami is, though we get joy when we get back what Swami has received, we receive back part of it as his prasadam, it's an unbelievable experience and joy when you know that whatever you have offered to the Lord has been completely accepted.
Yeah. I mean, many times, you know, I think not just about food, there's so many other offerings. I recall, I think one of my junior batches or 1 year senior batch, I don't recall which one now, had gifted a robe to Swami. And Swami wore it during one of the Kode sessions. And Swami was going around telling, see my 12th class boys gave me. And I mean, that joy which Swami had, he kind of confused us whether it is okay to give or whether it is not okay to give. Because there was another very sweet incident which one of the first batch students narrated. And when I say first batch, this is really the first batch. The first set of students who had joined anything like a hostel, which was...
So it must be late 60s or early 70s then.
I guess so. I think 69 maybe. So there was no concept of students going for darshan also. Right? So they were just staying in the hostel. Mm-hmm. Probably they got an orientation course directly from Swami and all that. So these boys were like waking up in the morning and going to the college as usual.
Yeah.
And Swami was staying in Vrindavan. So one of the boys in that batch, he said, why don't we just go and see if we can have Swami's darshan? So he got up, got ready, and he went. And the person at the gate, this was old bungalow, was there in Vrindavan. So he said, oh, you're a student. Okay, come and stand inside. So he was made to stand, you know, just in front of all the deer park and all, which used to be there. You know, he came and stood there. So then he was thinking that if Swami comes, I'm the only person here. It would be nice to offer something to Swami. So he had a few minutes left. So he slips out of the ashram and he buys a rose for Swami, right? And he's standing there. And as soon as Swami emerges from the bungalow, he sees that there is this student who's standing, the first student to come for darshan, literally. And he's standing with his rose, you know, such a sweet gesture. And Swami's face lit up. And Swami came to him and Swami asked him, what is your name and all that. And this boy was so enamored that Swami is coming straight and talking to him. Literally, Swami had to look down and say that, is that rose for me? Did you get that for me?
He forgot that they had got it.
He said, yes, Swami, and he offered it to Swami. And Swami received it, and then Swami said, where did you get this from? So he said, Swami, I went out and I bought it. And he said something like, I got it for 50 anas or something. Swami said, 50 anas for one rose.
It must have been 3 or 4 anas,
yeah,
I think.
It must have been much
because
lesser.
One ana is 25 paise, so yeah,
right.
A few anas.
I'm sorry, 8 anas or something. Must
yeah,
have been, right.
Okay.
So, and this boy, Swami was saying that you spent so much, you know, the vendor has cheated you and all that. And then Swami anyway blessed him and walked on. So this boy got really excited. He went back to the hostel and he said, you know, this is what happened. I went for darshan and Swami came and spoke to me. So the next morning, Swami comes out. There are 5 boys standing, each one with a rose. Then again, Swami comes and speaks to all of them. And then Swami asks, so how much did you get the rose for today? Right? They were very happy because on that day, they had got 5 roses for 8 anas.
Oh, they had done the bargaining.
They bargaining abilities. And Swami said, oh, that is good and all that. And then Swami said, but why do you have to buy a rose? Swami looked at the garden and said, see, there is a rose plant here. There's a rose bush here. There are enough roses here. And then Swami went on, and this boy was a little disappointed. The next day, there were about 15 or 20 boys standing there, and the rose bush was empty.
And all of them had one rose.
And then Swami came and took all the roses, and then Swami said, where did you get the roses from? And they said, Swami, we got it from your garden. And then Swami said, but the roses look more beautiful on the plant. So all the faces became small. And then Swami said, but you also want to offer me something, right? That is also nice. Then Swami said, okay, we'll do one thing. From tomorrow, I'll come. And as soon as I come out of the door, I'll stand there. You stand here. You look at the rose, you look at Swami. You look at the rose, you look at Swami. I will accept it that way.
Beautiful.
This makes it very clear that it is not the actual physical offering that is important, the feeling behind the act. Because I remember, a simple incident where, just to highlight how it is, it's the feeling and the innocence or whatever inside that matters. Swami would ask the primary school boy, where did you come from? And they have been trained, of course, to answer that, Swami, from your lotus feet. And he'll say, from your lotus feet, Swami will feel so happy, proud, and he'll parade that little boy to all the VIPs and everyone. And in the neighborhood will be seated the institute boys, and they pick on this answer. And I remember, Swami comes and asks, where are you from? Swami, from your lotus feet. Where are you from? Swami, from your lotus feet. Hey, where are you from? Swami, from Bombay. That's it. It's done. Because I have seen Swami, this kind of in quotes interrogation to primary school children also. Hey, where did you come from? Swami, from your lotus feet. Where did you come from? Swami, from your lotus feet. They may break down and then start whimpering, but they'll stick to that answer because all said and done, though they have learnt it like a parrot, they're convinced about it, That's not the case. We are trying to be smart Alex over there and try to give an answer. So it collapses. So therefore, whether it's on Swami's birthday or not, I think what matters most is the feeling behind what we say or what we offer.
I'm reminded of, going back to Vrindavan days, in the old bungalow days. So Swami would be staying in the bungalow and the students would be around the bungalow. They could mingle anywhere and be available for Swami's service. And so as Swami would come down to give darshan, there were three students, you know, waiting near the entrance to the bungalow. Mm-hmm. And they were like, they were probably birthday boys. And as Swami came down, you know, he asked the first boy, you know, so who are you? So Swami asked the first boy. So as he must have been, the student must have been aware of the regular answer. So he tried to be smart. He said, Swami, I am your servant. Okay. So that, it looked like a very good answer.
But probably he's inspired from the Ramayana that Swami narrates.
Yeah.
He, with great pride, Swami says that, look at Hanuman.
Yeah.
He introduces himself as, I am the servant of Rama.
Dasoham Kosalendra, uh-huh. I am the servant of Rama. Although he has crossed the mighty ocean and
he has credentials.
Uh-huh. He has so many credentials. He's the disciple of the sun and all that. That doesn't matter to him. What is your relation to Swami is what is important, you know. It doesn't matter, like today Anil Kumar sir was telling about Victor Kano. When he was introduced, he said, all these credentials are not the things that matter to me. What matters to me is I am the devotee of Bhagwan, you know. So that is what is more important. How do you relate to Swami? What is your relationship with Swami? And so I think this student probably had that in mind, and he said, Swami, I am your servant. And then Swami was, you know, Swami simply doesn't let an opportunity fly by to teach. Mm-hmm. And so Swami said, wait, who is whose servant here? You know? Am I your servant or you are my servant? When I say things and ask you to do things, you don't do any of these things. You know? And I tell you, be good. I tell you, speak the truth. I tell you not to have anger. You don't listen to any of them. On the other hand, all your prayers I have to answer. So tell me who is whose servant. And so, well, the student did not have an answer. And Swami moved on to the second student. I think this guy was one question wiser. You know?
Yeah.
So Swami asked, who are you? And he very sweetly said, Swami, I am your child. And when you say that to Swami and you really mean it, I think Swami just melts, you know. And Swami let that go. And Swami was very happy. When the third one, you know,
questions wiser.
Yeah, the third time is the charm. So he asked the third student, who are you? And this guy said, Swami, I and you are one.
So basically, the three answers of Hanuman.
Right.
At the level of the body, I'm your servant. At the level of this, you're the...
Right.
I'm spark of the...
Well, okay, so here was a teaching moment, you know. And Swami said, oh... So, I and you are one? Okay. So, I was thinking of going and giving darshan. I will stand here. Why don't you go and give darshan? So, that was Swami's reply to the student. So, that, you know, it was definitely a very, very funny incident. But I think there is a lesson there. I was trying to think. Swami says to us, you know, you and I are one. You are God. I am also God. It's just that you have to realize that you are God. But then here is a student who is trying to say, Swami, I am you, or you and I are one. But then Swami plays it down. I understand that Swami wants it to you to really mean it. But how do I practice it in daily life? So I was trying to get an answer for this question. My understanding is that when Swami says you and I are one, it does not mean that I have to go out and give darshan or I have to wear a robe. Or
like some people are literally doing it nowadays.
Right? I don't have to talk like Swami. I don't have to bless people, or I don't have to
sign photographs.
Sign photographs or throw toffees or celebrate festivals like how Swami does. Whatever it is that Swami physically does. I think it is, given my circumstances, given my responsibilities, given my situation, if I put Swami in this, without any of those divine powers, but just with that infinite love in my heart, how do I interact with the world? So that is, I think, the union with God. Swami says, today's birthday message again was, happiness is union with God. I think the union with Swami is trying to be Swami in your life. As how would Swami behave given your circumstances? I think that would be a very wonderful gift to Swami, and that would be a good way to be happy always, knowing that you are Swami.
In the year 2008 or 9, I remember all the students who are working in the ashram, they used to call themselves as the Sai Sannidhi. So on the Sai Sannidhi day, all of us were seated at the lotus feet, and you know, Swami gave a discourse that just was at some other level itself. You know, Swami started by saying there is no happiness, there is no sorrow. Because you are happiness, you are sorrow. Yeah. It's not like you suffer or you enjoy. You are the suffering, you are the joy. Means because there is nothing else other than you.
Yeah.
You are divine. This is how Swami said. So I, on that day, I just said, Swami, if I tell that I am God and I am God, I asked Swami this question. If I say that I am God, is that not ahankara, Swami? I mean, I am God if I say like that. Swami said, no, no, no. That is not ahankaram. This is the correct satyam, Swami said. Yeah. The correct truth. There is a correct satyam. And then Swami said, but you say you are God and do all nonsense, no? Then that is, I think, you know, today when you share it, your thoughts, it, I just feel that it amplifies that. That when you say you are God, it should not be mere lip service. Genuinely, if you believe your Swami, how would, as you rightly put it, how would Swami behave in this circumstance? I right now I'm radio jockeying. If Swami were to radio jockey, what would be Swami's attitude? How would Swami speak? What? I mean, the moment we think like that itself, already I'm feeling a lot more calmer. My legs went down, my back straightened up, and you know, I just that single thought. If we can have that awareness constantly in an integrated manner, that constant integrated awareness, I think that would be one awesome gift that we can give Swami. And you know, this kind of teaching us these lessons in such a beautiful manner, nobody else can do it. That is the speciality of Swami. He's like one in a million, one in a billion, one in a trillion. Yeah. It reminds me of another episode where somebody was gifting Swami, you know, a new car. Somebody was gifting Swami a new car, and this car was new to India itself at that point in time. So that devotee, I think he expected Swami to get excited and thrilled and marvel at this effort of this devotee. But Swami accepted the card with the car with the same nonchalance with which he would accept a card or a letter or something. Peanuts, yeah. That is the amazing thing, right? For us, peanuts is like peanuts. But for him, peanuts, car, everything is the same. Yeah. It's a feeling that counts. So when the devotee did not see that excitement on Swami in order to make Swami aware of the significance of the gift, he just told Swami, Swami, dunya mein, I mean, in this, like this kind of car, it's very, in this country, this kind of car, only one is there, Swami, he told. In Hindi. In Swami's reply came pat after that. Swami said, in this universe, there is only one Sai Baba like this. Is dunya mein aise Sai Baba ek hi hai, you know? And that is the kind of Swami, that is the kind of Lord we have. I remember yesterday, even when the archive building got inaugurated, a statement, you know, that rings in my ears and in my heart is that even among avatars, no, this is a unique avatar because no other avatar has left behind such a repository which we can cherish and treasure afterwards. Possibly no other yuga needed it. The presence and the vibrations were enough. But we need in this yuga, and he has left behind letters, he has left behind photos, videos, everything. This is a very, very, very special avatar, and we definitely become very, very special simply because we have got associated with somebody who is very, very special.
And Ravi Kumar sir, one of our teachers would say, you know,
the current Vrindavan warden.
Warden, and he would say, even if there is no other avatar that is as sweet as Swami, you know, Swami is the sweetest of the sweetest avatars. It's not Krishna or Rama. Even if he were to come again as Swami, it would not be as sweet as he has been. That is how sweet that is, and that is our privilege. You know, you were saying about the repositories and the archives that are made available that will keep his message available in his own writing and in his own words available. But I think what is going to live on in our hearts is going to be those sweet interactions that we had with him. And I don't think I'm going to come across anything else in my life that would be as sweet as Swami's interactions with me.
You know, in fact, pulling out from that same repository of the archive, the 43rd birthday discourse, you know, in the year 1968, on this very same day, 23rd November, Swami began in such a profound manner. Swami said, "This is an auspicious moment in the history of India, when you have a great chance to understand the truths embodied in the scriptures of this land and the ideals that are embedded in the ways of living that are prescribed by the codes propounded therein. In order that you may attain the only goal of human life, the only goal of human life, which is realizing the divine and becoming divine, the eternal has limited itself and come in this human form. It will reveal the ideals again and re-establish it among all men. And then Swami said, of course, it is difficult for those who are unacquainted with the scriptures to grasp the mystery of this advent. Wow. You know, Swami himself is saying that this is very, very special. You saying, me saying, Ravi Kumar sir saying is one thing. But Swami himself saying that this is a very special thing. I think, how much ever, you know, my mother would often say, in Kannada, she would say it as charmadal chapli madkotro saldu, meaning if we use our own skins as leather and make an offering for his feet as a footwear, that is also not enough, because that is the way he has touched our lives. And I just feel that this birthday is an occasion for us to reaffirm our love for him, re-establish that connection with him, and express our heartfelt gratitude for everything. Dear listeners, at this point in time, we'll take a quick break. On the other side of the break, we'll continue with love on Bhagwan's birthday.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's time now for the special part of today's program that we promised. You know, we had a beautiful, beautiful birthday celebration this morning, and in fact, all through the week, we've seen so many grand celebrations. And being a part of Radio Sai, and in fact, even the other media groups in the ashram, many times we document what the birthday celebration was. We made special reports on the radio. We made special articles, Prashanti Diary, Prashanti Reporter articles. But you know what it is to see the birthday celebrations from the point of view of the birthday boy himself, to put it that way. You know, if Swami were to describe a birthday celebration, how it would be. And we thought today we will share with you one such description given by Swami himself. And this is like way back during Swami's 29th birthday. Today we are celebrating the 92nd. And this was the 29th birthday of Swami. And Swami is himself describing the birthday. And it was not a discourse, but it was such a beautiful nectarous letter that Swami has written to one of the devotees, where he's completely documenting all that went through in that one particular birthday celebrations. The letter, of course, is in Telugu. We have Brother Ganesh to read it out for us. Even as he reads out line after line, we'll have Hemant translate the letter to us. It's a beautiful letter, dear listeners. This is the special part of this year's birthday celebrations, Thursday Live Afternoon Satsang. So over to you, Ganesh.
చౌదరి విజయ లక్ష్మమ్మకు అందుకోండి ఆశీర్వాదములు అంపుచున్నాను ఆనందములు.
టు చౌదరి విజయలక్ష్మమ్మ, ప్లీజ్ యాక్సెప్ట్ మై బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ సెండింగ్ యూ మై బ్లెస్ అండ్ మై హ్యాపీనెస్.
మీరిరువురూ రాసిన కమ్మని కమ్మలు అందెను.
ది వండర్ఫుల్ లెటర్స్ దట్ యూ హ్యాడ్ రిటన్ టు మీ, ఐ హావ్ రిసీవ్డ్ దెమ్.
కడు ఆనందమాయెను.
అండ్ ఐ ఫెల్ట్ గ్రేట్ హ్యాపీనెస్.
ఈ తూరి పుట్టిన పండుగ పున్నమి చంద్రుని వలె ప్రకాశించుచు అందులోని శాంతము ఎంత మధురముగా చల్లగా నుండునో అట్లే అంత నెమ్మదిగా జరిగెను.
దిస్ ఇయర్ ది బర్త్డే సెలబ్రేషన్స్ వాస్ రెస్ప్లెండెంట్ లైక్ ది ఫుల్ మూన్ అండ్ ఇట్ షవర్డ్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ పీస్ అండ్ హ్యాపీనెస్.
దసరా కంటే ఎక్కువ భక్తులు ఏ వైపు చూచినా గిజగిజలాడుచుండెను.
Tons of people and there was a lot of intermingling around, and it was more than the Dasara celebrations.
Aa naati ratri chali ani pagale tellavari 9 gantalake oorulo utsavam ayanu.
Because it was chill in the morning, 9 o'clock itself in the village the celebrations began.
Akkade nunchi raagane 12 gantalaku aa naati ratri chali ani pagale tellavari 9 gantalake ఊరులో ఉత్సవమాయను. అక్కడ నుంచి బుక్క పట్టణములో చాలా వైభవముగా జరిగాను.
అండ్ ది సెలబ్రేషన్స్ బిగాన్ ఫ్రమ్ ది విలేజ్ అండ్ ఆల్ ది వే అప్ టు బుక్క పట్టణం.
అక్కడ నుంచి రాగానే 12 గంటలకు తలంట్లు.
అండ్ ది అనాయింట్మెంట్స్ బిగాన్ అట్ 12 o'clock.
ఐ థింక్ దట్ సెరమనీ వేర్ స్వామి యూజ్డ్ టు సిట్ స్టార్టింగ్ విత్ స్వామీస్ పేరెంట్స్, దే వుడ్ యు నో డిప్ అ ఫ్లవర్ ఇన్ ఆయిల్ అండ్ దెన్ పుట్ ఇట్ ఆన్ స్వామీస్ హెడ్. And there used to be a long line of couples to do that. Swami would go for his birthday bath after that ceremony.
And what we have to remember here is that this was in 1954. This is the time when Prashanti Nilayam itself is just 4 years old.
Right.
And of course, during our Satyam Shyam Sundaram, we had discussed it. Prashanti Nilayam was built in a piece of land that was way away from the village because, you know, they didn't want anybody to be interfering or anything, and there were some people who felt Swami is a negative influence for the village, and therefore, dear listeners, this is one surprising thing. What we consider today as Puttaparthi is not Puttaparthi. What we consider as outskirts of Puttaparthi was actually the Puttaparthi. This is all the outskirts, but that's what happens. Where the Lord comes, that becomes the center. So that's why we find, I think, references to Bukkapatnam and all that, because those were the big places in those times.
Right.
And in 29 years old, and you can imagine Swami, a very young man, thick crop of hair, right. And you can imagine how much oil had to go into even anoint that thick bush of hair, you know. And very recently, like I think a few years back, Swami had the re-anointment ceremony, right. The Sai Kulwantwal. I mean, tried to give us the bliss he gave to those great devotees of yesteryears.
Right.
All right.
Sayantram 8 gantala varaku andariki bhojanalu.
up till 8 o'clock in the night, everyone was fed some chusli.
So from afternoon till 8 in the night, Narayan Seva was going on.
And the wonderful thing is, this continues even to this day. And I'm not referring to the free prasadam that is granted by the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust in its canteens. Just take a walk in the village. I can promise and assure anybody visiting Puttaparthi during the birthday week, any being will not go hungry, because three times a day, people on their own volition have set up food stalls and they're distributing prasadam like nobody's business. You know, everywhere there's prasadam, prasadam, prasadam. And it's so wonderful that, you know, what has started, it's continuing even to this day. There are almost 26 counters.
My gosh.
You know, A to Z of food serving, one for each letter of the alphabet. There are that many counters serving food in Puttaparthi today.
ఐదు గంటలకే హాస్పిటల్ శంకుస్థాపన వేస్తివి.
సో ది హాస్పిటల్ ది ఫౌండేషన్ స్టోన్ ఫర్ ది హాస్పిటల్ వాజ్ లేడ్ అట్ 5 o'clock ఇన్ ది ఈవినింగ్.
దిస్ ఇస్ ది జనరల్ హాస్పిటల్ ఆన్ టాప్ ఆఫ్ ది హిల్. సో ఇన్ 1954 స్వామి లేడ్ ది ఫౌండేషన్ స్టోన్ అండ్ స్వామి ఈస్ మెన్షనింగ్ దాట్.
ఆనాడు నేను, కస్తూరి, కల్లూరి సుబ్బారావు వీరందరూ ఉపన్యాసాలు ఇస్తుమి.
ఆన్ దాట్ డే మైసెల్ఫ్, దట్స్ భగవాన్, and Kasturi and Kalluri Subbarao, another devotee, gave discourses.
Aa tarvata uyyala pai kurchuni nenu kali ki avataramunu gurinchi, kali mayanu gurinchi, omkaramunu gurinchi 10 gantala nunchi ratri 1 gantala varaku 3 gantala sepu maatladitini.
On that day I sat on the jhula and talked about the essence of the Kali avatar, the Kalki avatar, and I spoke from
the Maya of Kali.
The Maya of the Kali from
10 p.m. to 1 p.m. night to 1 a.m.
1 a.m. in the morning.
3 hours, 10 3 to hours. 1.
You know, this is something that actually puts me to shame, embarrasses me, because how many of us have the patience to even listen to one full discourse of Bhagwan? Let's be honest to ourselves, you know. Because we often say that Swami's word is a Veda Vakya, Swami's word, every breath is phenomenal, it's significant. But the sad truth is, none of us find time and space during our busy lives to even listen to one discourse. In fact, even during all the mandir programs that are held throughout the year, Swami's discourse is reduced to 10 to 15 minutes. And even that, are we able to sit and listen with one-pointed focus and attention? I mean, these are things that provoke thoughts within us. When we think, why isn't Bhagwan giving? I think we should also ask ourselves, are we worthy of receiving? Look at that, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. It's not even like in the peak of the day, in the peak of the night. I mean, people must have definitely given up food, drink and sleep to listen. And would we do that? If Bhagwan delivers a discourse from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., would we listen? I think this is a very important message for all of us, that when we demand from Bhagwan and say Bhagwan is not giving, I think we should also spend some time thinking, are we worthy enough to receive what we are asking of him?
And the 10-minute clips that we put up are usually clips where Swami is showering his love on us. And that's what makes us happy. You put in messages in there and we get restless, you know. And these 4 hours, or 10 to 1 a.m., it would have been pure distilled essence of the Vedas. Nothing other than that. Those were the years Swami would be, it would be just message and message and message. Swami was driving home the importance of union with God and the essence of the Vedas.
It almost makes me feel as if in the Kali Yuga also, no, there are 4 Yugas. In Swami's advent also, from 1926 to 1945 maybe was Satya Yuga. Like that, you know, within those 86 years also we had 4 Yugas, it looks like. And in our times, yeah, Swami had to tolerate a very impatient, immature, very, you know, that kind of a lot. If we can improve in that aspect, at least personally speaking for myself, definitely I would say there's a lot that we have to do to make an offering to Bhagwan.
భక్తులందరి కండ్లయందు ఆనంద బాష్పములు అట్లే రాలినవి.
అండ్ ఇన్ ది ఐస్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద డివోటీస్ దేర్ వర్ టియర్స్ ఆఫ్ జాయ్ దట్ వర్ రోలింగ్ డౌన్.
అంత ఆనందించిరి.
దే ఫెల్ట్ సో హ్యాపీ అండ్ బ్లిస్ఫుల్.
చాలా బాగుండెను.
ఇట్ వాస్ సో వండర్ఫుల్. దిస్ ఇస్ స్వామి రైటింగ్.
రెండో రోజు అందరూ ఏటికి పోతిమి చిత్రావతి.
ఆన్ ద సెకండ్ డే వి ఆల్ వెంట్ టు ద చిత్రావతి రివర్ బ్యాంక్స్.
ఏరంతా భక్తులే.
All over the bank, it was devotees. It was filled with devotees.
అంతమంది భక్తులు ఉండినప్పుడు ఏటికి ఎప్పుడూ పోలేదు.
We had never gone to the Chitravati with so many devotees.
Ade modali turi.
That was the first time we went there.
Enta dooram kurchunna anta talale teliyachundenu.
Wherever, whichever direction we saw, it was all heads.
Aanadu tirigi bhaktula lakshanamulu, gruhastha dharmamulu, ivanni yetiro upanyasinchitimi.
On that day, I discussed the role of a householder with all the devotees.
The qualities of a devotee.
The qualities of the devotee and the role of the household life.
Vaka adugu yettugala Vishnuvu Shankha Chakramulato Tisitini.
I removed a 1 foot idol of Vishnu with Shankhu Chakra, the discus and the conch.
Chala Anandapadiri.
Everyone was very delighted.
Dinamo vache bhaktulu poye bhaktulu.
Not only the devotees who are permanently here, but also the ones who would come and go.
Telipe veelu ledu.
It is not possible to describe. This is Swami trying to describe.
Amma, ellappudu atma swaroopamuto mee andaga ventaaduchunna Sai Ramudu meeku enaatiki dooramu kaadu, dooramu ledu.
Dear one, this Sai Rama, who is your the embodiment of the Atma, will never be away from you. He'll always be with you.
Anadantayu mee hrudayamulu aaya velala jarugu programulu talchukuntu unduru.
And then you will recollect all these wonderful events that have occurred with me.
Swami hrudaya peethamu pai tandavam aaduchundunu.
Swami will do the celestial dance on the pedestal, on the stage of your heart.
Amma, meeru ekkadunna Swami meevaru, meeru Swamivaru.
Dear one, wherever you are, Swami is yours and you are always Swami's.
Ee rendu gattiga unnanta kalamu meekemi yochana chinta raadu undadu.
As long as these two are very firmly established in your heart, there will not be any cause for worry.
Twaralo darshana sparshana sambhashanalu ittunu.
Very soon I will be giving you darshan, I will be speaking with you and interacting with you.
Pillalandariki aashirvadamulu andinchu.
Please convey my blessings to all the children.
Inte aashirvadamulu andukondi Sai Ramuni santosha vartalu.
That's it from me and please accept my blessings.
Itlu mee hrudayavasi Sai.
And signing off, this is the indweller of your heart, Sai.
Thank you, Ganesh. What a beautiful letter that is. You know, I mean, really, Swami himself saying that I can't describe this any better, or this can't be described any better, but you know, it just gives a glimpse of how much Swami would do in one burden. This is like a description of 2 days. And Swami saying that 3 hours I spoke, I went up to the hill, did the foundation stone laying, went up to Bukapatnam in a procession and came back, and the following day again a discourse in the Chitravati. It just takes you back to that incident which you narrated in Swami Satyam Shyam Sundaram, when Swami would give interviews till 2 in the morning, starting late in the evening in Subbamma Garu's house. And when the devotees would come and tell Swami, "Swami, why are you troubling yourself so much? Why are you stretching yourself so much?" And Swami said, "I have to do this because I have to keep all of these people, you know, enchanted.
Yes.
That is the only way I can teach them, I can transform them. If I don't do this, even, you know, crows will not come here."
That is what Swami wrote. Crows and dogs won't come here.
And Swami said, "I need to literally stretch, squeeze, wrench himself." I mean, that's the only word you can use. For the sake of attracting us, so that, you know, once he gets our attention, he will be able to tell us what needs to be told and he can transform us.
This reminds me of Yashoda and Krishna, you know, showing the butter in one hand with all these miracles and there is the stick on the other hand which is hidden from Krishna. So he invites us with all these wonderful leelas and miracles and wonderful stories, but there is always the lesson that follows where he is correcting us. Yeah.
And the beautiful thing is, thanks to the occasion yesterday where the archive opened, that concept itself ensures that all that Swami has given, we can keep milking it and receiving the lessons from it throughout our lifetime. But all said and done, there is that small feeling that we cannot be as lucky, you know. Now, I can't make that offering. I can't get that letter from Bhagwan, all said and done, because the avatar has come, it's gone. How much ever one may say that things have not changed, I don't believe things have changed. How do you mean to say that the advent is not of any significance? Means the same God who is everywhere just came, so things have not changed. Definitely things have changed. The avatar is a very, very, very special manifestation. And yes, in that sense we have missed it. But the beauty of this avatar, the beauty of what Swami has done is that the blessings, the lessons, the message and the feeling that is aroused in oneself is not restricted only during the physical frame of the avatar. Because, you know, the most easy example that comes to mind is that of Mother Radha and Mother Meera. You know, Radha and Meera, there's a song which asks who is greater of the two. And that is supposed to be a song that distinguishes between them and finds differences between them. But when you hear the song, the feeling that arouses within you is both are the same. How can both be the same when one lived with Krishna physically and the other lived eons later and, you know, just craved for Krishna? It just shows that what matters is the craving. If the craving and the yearning and the pining for God is there, it becomes the same.
Yeah.
You know, in this context, I'm just reminded of one episode. It happened during another Sai Sannidhi day. This was possibly the last Sai Sannidhi day in the physical presence of the avatar. And this was the day when Bhagwan, you know, in a kind of, he knows the future. That's why he very graciously agreed for all the students to come and be seated in Purnachandra Hall along with their parents. He said he would bless. It was a beautiful opportunity. And I was also seated with my parents and I saw that there were almost 200 of them and all their parents seated, some 800, 600, 700 people in the hall. So I told my mother, I said, see mom, Swami is going to spend time with each and every, it'll be like mini, mini interviews here. So be careful what you ask Swami. I told her, don't tell Swami, give me devotion. Everybody there will be asking like that only, you know. I said, when you ask for something, ask it in a unique manner so that, you know, it's Swami remembers. This is Maya. Of course, Swami forgets nothing. He doesn't need to remember. But you just feel, I said, Swami, ask something very unique. Unique and profound, not just profound. That's what I told her. And when actually Swami came near us and we were taking namaskar, I was shocked because what my mother said is, Swami, I have only one request. And Swami said, what? And I thought, that's it. Now she's going to ask in a very, she has got one day to think over it. Definitely something unique. She just said, Swami, I'll cook for you. Will you eat it? And I was like, oh my God, this is an anticlimax. I don't know if I could manage to hide my disappointment there. But after Swami granted Padnamaskar, Swami just said, not now, later, later. And Swami went on. We all of us took namaskar and Swami went ahead. After the whole session, I said, mom, what did you ask? You know, you just said, she said, that is what is my foremost desire. I want to cook for Swami. I said, come on, mom, you know, now, I know, you know, physically I knew that there are some 20, 30 lunch boxes that go in for Swami. Where you will adjust your lunch box? First you have to get permission for that and that also. I don't know if Swami is able to eat all those things that goes in itself. You want to, I mean, you could have asked for so many things. That was my mind. And finally, few months later, Swami left the physical and my mother never got that wish fulfilled. But interestingly, a few months later, for a period of almost 6 months to 1 year, it was amazing how different variety of dishes that my mom cooked, she would offer it and there would be vibhuti on it, there would be kumkum on it and very, very interesting experiences related with each of those. I will not go into each of them, you know, there's a paratha incident, there's a dosa incident, there's a idli incident. But it was so beautiful and the thrill that my mother felt, I think it was no way different from the thrill she would have felt had Swami come, sat at home and eaten from the plate. The thrill was the same, though Swami was physically not there. Mm-hmm. Just like what Meera felt was the same, though Krishna was physically not there. And I feel that is the uniqueness of this avatar we should cash in on, that he has the ability to confer the same joy, grace and everything that he did when he was there in the physical.
Absolutely.
And the physical actually gives us a sample to see from as the that's like the menu card. These are the possibilities, the capabilities.
Yeah.
See it and yearn for it, you will get it even to this day.
I like that you mentioned that it's a pining that's more important than the actual event. I mean, it reminds me of this incident at Kodaikanal. And so during those times, Swami wasn't able to walk by himself. He needed support and so the students would help Swami. And every day it was the turn of one student, and Swami would select the student and they would hold Swami and move around and help Swami. And so every student was pining for that opportunity, you know. When would I get a chance? When would I get a chance? And so it was the turn of one student, and he was holding Swami's arm and helping Swami walk. And all the other students were, you know, feeling that, oh, that's a wonderful opportunity he has got. And Swami also was looking at the other students and saying, lucky boy, you know, being because he's in proximity. And then Swami added, no, he's not lucky. So people were surprised. Why is Swami saying he's able to hold Swami's hand? Why is he not really the lucky one? And Swami went on to say, it's not the holding the hand that is important. It's the pining to hold for the hand that is more important. So even though Swami may not be there physically with us, if we are able to pine for him on this day, in fact, every day, he will bless us with all the joy that he has blessed all his devotees when he was there physically.
You know, I mean, going through all that, we've been speaking so far, you know, we started about offering to Swami, and then we spoke about the ultimate which Swami actually wants us to reach, which is like you and I are one, or whatever that, even in that discourse, Swami says that, even in that description, in that letter, Swami says how, you know, his focus was always on the message. As we were saying, we give less priority, so we give only 10 minutes for Swami's discourse. But, you know, Swami was emphasizing, Swami was mentioning all the points he was covering. I think all that goes, what I understand from this is the process of trying to give something to Swami physically, and even that was limited to very, very few people, even when Swami was physically present. You know, those listeners were listening and saying that, oh, Swami is not there now. Even when Swami was there, I always used to think like this, even the physical Swami had only 24 hours in a day, and that's all he could give physically, which means it was very, very less for the people who are gathered around him. You know, there used to be a lakh people during birthdays. How many of them had the opportunity to really give something or hold Swami's hand, touch Swami's feet?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's for right. Every flower given, we have thousands of flowers
absolutely
not given.
So many were, you know, rejected. But there is the process of giving something, or as you were saying, pining to give something, that is leading to something. Otherwise, Swami will not permit the process of you trying to give something to him at all. Because there is something hidden in this desire to give something to Swami, I think that is why he permits this whole process to happen. And I'll not go into the complete incident. There was that other incident which Sanjay Sanesa used to often narrate, of a student, not of the university, but one of the students used to come for the summer courses in the earlier years, in the 70s. Apparently he had got a new job, and he was being sent to Germany or Russia, one of these countries. And he wants to take Swami's permission. So he comes and he tells Swami that, Swami, I'm going for this, for some tender which
Russia.
Is being, right,
Russia.
I think it's Russia.
Yeah.
Some tender is being floated and my company is sending me to represent them. And then he goes to take Swami's blessings, and he knows that, you know, you just go and tell Swami, and if Swami permits, you go. But Swami tells him something which catches him totally off guard. Swami asks him, oh, you're going to Russia, what will you get for Swami? This boy was so excited, because Swami never accepts anything easily. And here Swami himself is saying, what will you get for me? This boy was like so happy. He said, Swami, you just name it. Tell me what I can get for you, Swami. He said. Then Swami said, I think that is what we all have to always remember. Swami said, come back the same way I'm sending you. Swami said, with the same purity I'm sending you, come back the same way. And I don't want to go into the rest of the story, which is actually very profound, but that is the word which Swami wants. And many times Swami would say this, you know, when we were in students and we used to go for vacation, Swami would say this.
Yeah.
Swami said, you know, this is like a garage. I tinker you up and I do a good polishing and I send the car out. You come back to the garage in the same, you know, repaired and used form I send you out. Swami would say that, come back from your vacation the same way I'm sending you for the vacation. And I think that is what it is. I mean, this absence of Swami, which we feel is like that small space in between when we are not feeling Swami's presence. If we can maintain our purity in this moment, I think we will be able to again face Swami in that physical form and say, Swami, I'm just the same as you left me.
I think that is the kind of instruction Swami, as the Paramatma, gave to us as Jivatmas even before we began our sojourn on earth. I'm sending you now to the earth. Just come back the way you are. Return to the source as you have.
No added
but
karma, you know.
Yes, that is where that song comes, you know, Maili Chadar Odke Kaise. You gave me a clean chadar. meaning the body. You spun it out of the five elements and gave it clean to me, but how dirty I have made it. If only I can just offer it to you the way you offered it to me. In different words, it's the same thing when Swami says that is what the Gopikas prayed. Ye prema ichiti wo ishanaku. The love that you have given me. Let me offer it back to you in the same manner. I think, forget adding on or increasing. If we just do a maintenance job of what Swami has done to us, that would be a great offering.
Swami himself gives this example, no? You're like standing in the Ganga and you're taking a handful of Ganga and you're offering it back to Ganga. Everything that Swami has, that we have is what Swami has given to us, and we make it a big deal like, oh Swami, I'm offering this to you. Tana mana dhana, I'm giving it to you.
But if you're really interested in making an offering, I'm reminded of a birthday discourse where, you know, not one actually, several birthday discourses where Swami has directly asked, if you want to give me this. Just like Swami, this was one thing that Swami said, come back to me the way I am sending you. So, possibly dear listeners, we will just play one discourse clip where Swami has directly asked, this is what I want as a gift. And after that, possibly we'll read out a few other things that Swami has asked so that as we think of what we should gift him on this birthday, we can pick from his own wish list.
Inadu, Swami ki, oka vidhamaitundi kanukaga meeru bhavinchi, ee mamsavachana, madhyapanamu, ee smoking, moodu kudunu Swami ki arpitam cheyandi.
Therefore, you should sacrifice non-vegetarianism, drinking and smoking today.
Ee moodintini meeru arpitam cheyadam valla, meeru bhagapadtaru, samajam bhagapadutundi, desham kuda bhagapadutundi.
Then once you sacrifice, the society will progress. You will be better.
Kutumbamu, samajamu, desamu, bhagapadatame Swami yokka lakshyam.
The main aim of Bhagavan is the prosperity.
Swami yokka lakshyanni meeru anusarinchedattuga untunte, anusarinchalani vishwasam untunte, mottamotti ee mooditini tyajinchali. Ide chanamulo.
If you have full faith in Bhagavan's teachings, follow these three.
Edo repu, repu, repu ani anukokoddu.
Don't postpone saying tomorrow.
Endukanaga?
Why?
Idi next anukuntunte, adi poorthi destiga maaripothu.
If you go on saying next, it becomes a test. Then it becomes taste.
Would.
No. Right now itself, determine. This is expected by Bhagavan today from us.
Kanuka, prema swaroopulaina vintivaru, meeru tappaga deenini aacharinchi, swamiki aanandanni andinchi, deshaniki kutumbaniki kudanu sarina adarshaptayulu avutarani నేను ఆశిస్తూ ఆశీర్వదిస్తూ నా ప్రసంగాన్ని విరమిస్తున్నాను.
భగవాన్ ఎక్స్పెక్ట్స్ దట్ వుడ్ ఫాలో దీస్ త్రీ థింగ్స్ మేక్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ హ్యాపీ యువర్ ఫ్యామిలీ అండ్ ద కంట్రీ బై అండ్ లార్జ్ అండ్ బ్రింగ్స్ దిస్ డిస్కోర్స్ టు ఎ క్లోజ్.
I think that is the clip we have played it many, many times, you know, where Swami himself is saying if you really want to offer something, this is what Swami is telling. Unfortunately or fortunately, I think it's fortunately, we can't make this offering to Swami.
Correct, but, because right, we don't have that with us.
I mean, that credit also goes to Swami. You know, he brought us up in a way that we do not even have the, we're not put in a situation where we have to think of these things. You know, that credit also goes to Swami. But I think if amongst the listeners, anybody is there who really wish to make an offering and who can make this offering, I think, as Swami said, right now, Ishalam Nunchi Swami says, not till tomorrow or day after, right now.
But Prem, though this is an offering that we can't make, as I said, Swami also toned down a little bit. If we look at the 43rd birthday discourse, Swami is asking for an offering. I'm sure all of us have an abundance we can offer that, you know. Swami is saying, again, 23rd November 1968, Swami says that the external nature has to be taken care of, but more importantly, your inner nature, your internal instruments need to be handled with great care. Of these, two are capable of vast harm. And Swami says, it is the instinct of sex and the tongue. Since sex is aroused and inflamed by the food consumed and the drink taken in, the tongue needs greater attention. While the eye, the ear, the nose serve as instruments of knowledge about one particular characteristic of nature, the tongue makes itself available to two purposes, to judge taste and to utter word symbols of communication. You must control the tongue with double care since it can harm you in two ways. And I just read out a small part of it. Swami goes on, I feel we must revisit this discourse and read it. the 43rd birthday discourse, where Swami says about how even great sadhaks aren't able to control their craving for food. You know, here Swami is asking us to give up craving for meat. But here Swami is saying, craving for food itself is a weakness that drags you along the path of ruin. Can you ensure that you eat food to live and not live to eat food? And this is something, as I said, I have got an abundance to offer, because this is one of the biggest problems I have, problems or whatever.
You know, talking about food, and we started by offering of food to Swami and all that. You know, finally it comes down to that, because at the end of the day, most of us make offerings of food at our altar, and we know that who's going to eat the food at the end of it, right?
Yeah.
So the food, prasadam, is prepared accordingly.
Correct.
You know, we won't make something which is not palatable to us.
See, that is the interesting thing, okay? That food is actually called naivedyam, because what is offered to God is naivedyam. But none of us say what is being prepared for naivedyam. We directly ask what is there for prasadam, because we know that we are going to eat it.
Right, absolutely. I think that is where the focus is, you know, and taking it in a larger sense. See, that is what we are doing even when we are offering anything to Swami, because our eye is only on the prasadam, what I will get in return. You know, it's not on what I am offering to Swami. It's always on what I will get in return if I make this offering to Swami. And I think that's where the problem is.
Yeah.
And when you start seeing what is it that I'm going to offer, automatically I think that question will come, what is it that Swami likes? Because you can't make an offering what He doesn't like. You know, you can, when you're thinking about the prasadam, you can think of what you like. But when you're thinking of the naivedyam, you will automatically ask this question, what Swami likes? And I think that is what is necessary to qualify that offering.
Just one more quote from the same discourse. I think because in this discourse, Swami has stated directly one after another what is it that He likes. And as you said, we should grow from offering what we like to Swami to offering to Swami what He likes. You know, Swami concluded that discourse in such a beautiful manner. Swami said, I am now hoisting the Prashanti flag on Prashanti Nilayam, because that was the practice those days. He would climb to the roof of the mandir,
right,
and hoist the Prashanti flag and throw flower petals on all the devotees assembled below. The flag is a sign that is significant for each one of you. It's a reminder of your duty to yourself. And so, when I hoist it on this building, you must unfurl it on your own hearts. It reminds you to overcome the urge of low desires, of anger and hate, when your desires are thwarted. It exhorts you to expand your heart so that you embrace all humanity and all life and all creation in its compass. It directs you to quieten your impulses and calmly meditate on your own inner reality. It assures you that when you do so, the lotus of your heart will bloom, and from its center will arise the flame of divine vision which guarantees prashanti. I must also tell you of certain preliminary disciplines. Practice when you are here the three disciplines of silence, cleanliness and forbearance. In silence can be heard the voice of God, not in the revelry of noise. Through cleanliness you earn purity. By forbearance you cultivate love. You have come today to your own home. This is your home, not mine. For my home is your heart. So do not try to have your lunch elsewhere but in your home, where you get this day food consecrated by me, the prasad. This was Swami's way of announcing the prasadam distribution that was going to happen.
You know, how very beautiful. Nothing more really can be added to that.
Yeah.
Really. But towards the only thing we can think of in the end is, you know, going back to the idea of Swami accepting offerings from us. Many times we ask ourselves, so what is it that we can offer physically? From the various stories that we heard, you know, Swami accepted the offering of a car. Swami also accepted the offering of a peanut. And Swami accepted the offerings of, you know, all those, when we're sitting in the mandir, we would see some of these primary school kids writing letters to Swami, and there would be all kinds of artwork on that, you know, which probably, I mean, you wouldn't do it to a friend whom you know, or somebody whom you're trying to impress in that sense. it can only be nothing but an expression of love. You know,
and we have seen Swami accepting even empty pages.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
If Swami would be coming and then, oh, I don't have a letter, so I'm in the first line. I would open the book that is in front of me, just tear a page, you know, and it would be jagged edges, and scribble something there, put dearest Swami on top, and then hand it over to Swami.
Right.
And Swami would take it with so
exactly
much love.
The reason why Swami was accepting it is because it's coming out of love. And the reason was to encourage that, you know, to acknowledge that it is coming out of love. And that's all that matters to him, as we always say, going back to that, you know, the first product which we made in Sai Blossom, we called it Bhavanjali. Mm-hmm. And I think that time what we were thinking when we were discussing to give that product that name was, you know, you can offer anything to Swami. You can offer music, you can offer objects. But what Swami takes from that is only the Bhavam.
Yes.
Right? It can be a Gitanjali, it can be a Nityanjali, but what Anjali which Swami actually offers, accepts, it's only that Bhavam. So I think the end of the day, that's all it is. You know, how are you going to express your love? That's all it is.
And, you know, when we say express our love, Swami in his discourse has said, love itself is given different terms. When a mother shows the love towards the child, it's called Vatsalyam. Like that. The love that we have towards Bhagwan, a devotee has towards God, is called bhakti, is called devotion. And as you rightly said, whatever offering we make, it has to be backed by devotion. In this context, I am reminded of a beautiful little dialogue that one of our teachers from the higher secondary school, the English teacher, Ram Mohan Rao sir, you know, he was narrating how, you know, Swami convinced him that the only way for him is through devotion, bhakti. And so, that was given to him as the mantra. One day he got the opportunity and he asked Swami, he said, Swami, how do I grow my devotion? I want my bhakti to increase. And the answer that Swami gave, I think this is so special, we should definitely focus on this and treasure it and cherish it and try to remember it and follow it. Swami said, if you want your devotion to grow, just express your devotion. That's all was a statement, but Ramon sir says that when he looks back at it, he understood it as whatever you are doing, make that as an expression of devotion to Swami. And you know, personally, we have seen Ramon sir in the hostel, this is what we used to feel. You know, he was not a great poet, but he would write poems for Swami. He was not a composer and he would try to write songs for Swami. And at some time, there may have been moments when we have laughed at him thinking, why are you doing this? But today when you learn this and you look at his life, how it has beautifully blossomed and flowered at the lotus feet, you realize that it all came because whatever he did it as an expression of love for Swami. He kept expressing his love for Swami in whatever he did. And I feel this is a beautiful way we can gift Swami a birthday gift, not by giving one card or one flower or one rose, but ensuring that whatever we do is an expression of our love for him.
It goes back to what's the message has been the same, you know. Swami Krishna also says to Arjuna, whatever you do, yat karosi, yat asnasi, yat juhosi, dadasi, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurushva madarpanam. It's a small sloka, so he couldn't put many activities in that. You know? So he just said, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you pine for, whatever activities you do. But if we had the opportunity, it would have been everything from the moment you get up, from the time you begin cleaning yourself, from the time you eat, from the time you go back to bed. Let Swami be the center of your life, you know. Everything revolves around him. Give him. Swami would love to control your life. Seriously, I think that is the message I would take home, you know. Swami is waiting, you know. I can make your life so wonderful, so filled with bliss and happiness. Just allow me to do it. Swami is just waiting to do that. But we say, Swami, I will do what I have to do and this is my time for you. That should not be, I think, we should be able to infuse every moment of our life, and that would be a wonderful gift, you know, giving control to Swami to take the reins of our lives.
You know, Brother Amay would say, is Swami a part of our life or is he the center of our lives?
Exactly.
I think that transition, if we do from making Swami a part of our lives to Swami becoming the center of our lives, wherein we become a small part in his life, I think that is a beautiful birthday gift that we can offer.
I think we'll have to conclude with that, with just that thought, you know, as Swami would, I think on many occasions during Swami's birthday discourses, Swami would say, my real birthday is when, you know, my divinity blossoms in your heart. That's all it is, and these are all ways for that. You know, when God comes down in the physical form, He gives various opportunities for you to do that. The opportunity to pine for Him, the opportunity to offer something to Him, the opportunity to try and offer something to Him. You know, all of that is involved in the same process. So I think we'll conclude with that. We most humbly offer this segment at Swami's Lotus Feet like we always do. And thank Brother Hemant for joining all of us. It was wonderful to have him with us. We're going to leave with a birthday song, of course, a very, very sweet, beautiful birthday song. On the other side of it, we'll have the Love to Love segment. Of course, this is a rebroadcast of an earlier segment, but it is again a birthday special. So happy listening to all of you. And once again, a very, very happy birthday to each one of our listeners.
आज की रात निराली है, उसे मत पूछो। आज की बात निराली है, उसे मत पूछो। जिस तरह झूल रहे हैं मेरे सरकार यहां, दिल के झूले में बिठाओ व झूला कर देखो। बोलिए इससे भी प्यार कोई रात आई है, मेरे बाबा की सालगिरह आई महकी सी फिजा छाई है, जानते हो कि नहीं सालगिरह आई है। हर तरफ एक महकी सी फिजा छाई है, जानते हो कि नहीं सालगिरह आई है। दुनिया वालों सुनो, आज सालगिरह आई है। हर तरफ एक महकी सी फिजा छाई है, जानते हो कि नहीं सालगिरह आई है। सितारे भी मुस्कुराते हैं, आसमां पर ये नए रंग बिखर जाते हैं। चांद हंसता है, सितारे भी मुस्कुराते हैं, आसमां पर ये नए रंग बिखर जाते हैं। भोर होते ही जो किरणों ने छुई चित्रावती, भोर होते ही जो किरणों ने छुई चित्रावती, एक मस्ती भरे संगीत में सब गाते हैं, एक मस्ती भरे संगीत में सब गाते हैं लब पे कुदरत के लब पे कुदरत के कैसी हंसी छाई है जानते हो कि नहीं सालगिरह आई है हर तरफ एक महकी सी फिजा छाई है जानते हो कि नहीं सालगिरह आई है दुनिया में कहर जुल्म सितम ढाते हैं और बर्बादी के आसार नजर आते हैं जब भी दुनिया में कहर जुल्म सितम ढाते हैं और बर्बादी के आसार नजर आते हैं तब कभी धर्म और ईमान की हिफाजत के लिए तब कभी धर्म और ईमान की हिफाजत के लिए बंदा परवर खुद ही धरती पे उतर आते हैं हर तरफ एक महकी सी फिजा छाई है जानते हो कि नहीं सालगिरह आई है हर तरफ एक महकी सी फिजा छाई है जानते हो कि नहीं सालगिरह